Last Word on Today FM.
Ireland, we know, is renowned for its music and its culture, and we punch well above our weight on that front. But Today FM is now looking to you, our dear listener, to help us decide on what the top Irish song of all time is. Now, with me to give their top five and to debate the merits of same are John Cadell and Dee Reddy. Now, John, the grand guru of Today FM, what is this all about?
Well, we love a countdown here on Today FM. Last year, we did the top 500 songs of the last 25 years. This year, we decided we wanted to do something around Irish music. As you mentioned, we've punched well above our weight internationally when it comes to the success of Irish artists. And, you know, obviously, you think of U2, you think of Van Morrison, you think of Thin Lizzy. But right now in Ireland, you've got the likes of Fontaines DC, CMAT, Amble, Kingfisher, Hozier. They're all doing incredible things. So we said, well, how do these artists stack up against the
best of the best,
the heretofore classics?
Yeah.
We thought we'd throw it out to the listeners and ask them to help us compile the top 100 greatest Irish songs.
And to get the conversation going, we're going to kick off with ours. Now, John, your first pick is An Emotional Fish, Celebrate.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick listen.
Yes.
Oh. Why is that so good?
It just is.
Yeah.
I was there on the ground when Emotional Fish kicked off. I remember going to see them with a friend of mine in a tent in Malahide, the grounds of Malahide Castle in 1990, and it just went off.
Mm.
It was insane. I mean, the tent was about half full, but everyone was crashed up against the barrier going absolutely mental. And this was the song that sort of put them on the map. And Emotional Fish in 1990 were tipped, as many bands were in the late 80s and early 90s, as the new U2, and they certainly had the goods to back it up. The debut album, their self-titled debut album, is still a classic. Celebrate, I mean, I think for me it's the bass line.
Yeah.
The bass line that starts the song and runs through the song. But it's got everything. It's got an incredible vocal from Gerard Whelan, also known as Jerry Fish.
Jerry Fish, indeed.
The guitar solo in the middle, it's not really a solo. It's just sort of like he's crunching along. And the makeup of the song and the way it's put together is just phenomenal. But at the end of the day, like, it's just a great song.
Yeah, it's a good way to kick us off anyway. Dee, we're going to move on to your first pick.
Yeah.
Dreams by the Cranberries.
Absolutely. Love, love, love this song. It was their debut single back in 1993, and it featured then subsequently on their debut album. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? But it had actually been released as a demo version back in 1990 as well. This song, to me, I think, it probably wouldn't have been the most, I suppose, culture, it didn't have the most cultural cut through for them at the time, but in more recent years, it was used to extraordinarily good effect in Derry Girls.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastically. And then, of course, Irish Women in Harmony did that beautiful cover.
And it was used for a Discover Ireland campaign.
That's too, right. And it's for me, it's the epitome of what is great about music. It puts me back in a moment in time, but in the present day, it just sweeps you up and takes you up along with it.
We'll take a listen to it in a minute, but answer me this question. Why not Zombie?
Because for me, Dreams is the one that I would go to listen to. I love Zombie as a song. It's absolutely fantastic.
You
don't get me wrong.
You can't not smile when Dreams
that's
is playing.
That's it. Yeah. And I think, again, to kind of that sort of, it maybe Zombie had more cultural resonance at the time, but for me, Dreams has just, it's taken on a second life. And certainly after Dolores O'Riordan passed away as well.
Okay. But let's take a listen.
Yeah.
thing about that song is it builds and builds, and you're waiting for it to kick in all the time, and that increases the anticipation.
Also, for me, like, I remember as a teenage girl seeing Clueless in the cinema and being so excited when one of the characters goes, "I want to get my cranberry CD from the quad." And that kind of, to me, in Irish music, the fact that it was being mentioned in a teen film from so far away in the world.
My conscience of the MTV of the 90s was that song. Was like ubiquitous across MTV kind of soundtracks, backing tracks, etc.
I think there was like three different music videos for it.
One listener says, "Don't forget that Cranberry song is Limerick's official anthem for Peter."
Well, so, there we go.
No better song.
Limerick covered so.
Now, my first choice is Luke Kelly's Raglan Road, and I think it his vocal alone speaks for itself. But I love the backstory of this, the Patrick Kavanagh connection in the Bailey. He said, "I have a little poem for you that you can turn into song, Raglan Road, and away you go." I don't think it's been better. I don't think Luke Kelly's performance has been better, even though I will say Declan O'Rourke and Glenn Hanser did a really good version of this at John Sheehan's 80th birthday in Vicar Street. But I still think the original is still the best. So this is Raglan Road by Luke Kelly.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and passed along the enchanted way.
I could genuinely listen to that. It's just so good. John, Luke Kelly, where does he sit in your consciousness?
Well, he's got a very, very distinctive voice. You'd probably put him next to Liam Clancy when it comes to great ballad singers of Ireland. I think Liam Clancy probably pips him.
Controversial.
But just about. I mean, he's a one-off.
But he's become more iconic. Like, I was not even born, I think, when he died, like, or I was probably only a very small kid. But he loomed large in my consciousness growing up and discovering music. Like, the Dubliners and Luke Kelly, that iconic flaming red hair just loomed large.
Yeah. I mean, my niece, when she was maybe about 4 years ago, when she was about... 4 or 5, she loved Luke Kelly and the Dubliners. So it just goes to show that, like, multi generations of kids are captured by it.
Who else has two statues of them?
Exactly. One listener says, "We have to include our folk artists and songs like Only Our Rivers Run Free by Planxty," which is not a bad shout.
Yes.
John, to your second pick, we're going to go with Something Happens, Parachute. Why? Like Tom Dunn. It has been ubiquitous. He's obviously a radio star now these days, and Something Happens still gig frequently enough.
He deserves two statues.
Tom Dunn does.
Yeah.
Why have you included this song?
Well, I've included all five mainly because they're just brilliant songs. But
such a John Cadell answer.
No, but it's true. It's the song is everything in these. Like I said, I don't care about reputation. I don't care about pedigree. I don't care if it's a debut single from a young Irish artist or a track from the 12th album by U2. It's all about how great the song is. And I don't know, and I must ask him downstairs, I don't know how you would even begin to write a song like Parachute, particularly the piano intro.
Yeah.
Because I play the piano and I still can't play it properly.
I think, did he just fall on the piano or did he just fall on the piano?
I don't know how it would occur to you to create something like the start of Parachute. And I don't know if we have the start in this clip, but it's just like, it sounds like nothing else. And then the song itself, I suppose the verse kicks in and the chorus is incredible. And it's a happy song. It's like you said, I would listen to it all day. It's just an incredible song.
Let's take a listen.
Take a parachute and jump. You can't stay here forever when everyone else is gone. Been all alone, won't seem that clever. Take a parachute and go. There's gonna have to be some danger. Take a parachute and jump. You're gonna have to take flight. If the wind don't catch you, I will. I will. The wind's not there. I'm
great.
I know.
Such a tune.
Play the whole thing.
we'll never get through any of this if we, that is really good. And in fairness, I think, like...
Yeah, I think that's one of those ones you forget how good it is.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, obviously, John.
I saw them play Whelan's one night and I wasn't kind of going in a little bit, John is a little bit sceptical, but by God, they were brilliant that night. Yeah. They were really, really, really good.
But they've, I mean, I don't know, they're not a working band as such anymore in that they don't record stuff anymore. But yeah. I mean, they're back at, they've like Room 29, Hello, Hello, Petrol, CC incidentally, yeah. Some brilliant, brilliant
and
stuff.
And Tom Dunn will be a guest on the Culture Club here tomorrow evening, yeah. So stay tuned for that.
I'll ask him then how he wrote
that. Well, exactly. Right, Dee, your second, Sinead O'Connor.
Yes, it is Sinead O'Connor. Sorry, my list is in a different order.
Sorry, I'm clicking randomly here, so apologies.
That is quite all right. You go ahead. So Mandinka, I mean, so many to choose from Sinead O'Connor, but this was the second single from her debut album, The Lion and the Cobra in 1987.
Such a good album.
And this song in particular for me just stands out because there's this really, really famous clip that you can find online of Billy Crystal introducing her in the 1987 Grammy Awards, I think it was. And he makes some comment like, here now to make a statement about what she represents to the world. And then on she comes. And it's this big glitzy award ceremony. And Sinead is there in her Doc Martens and her kind of like belly top and her baggy jeans.
And her screw you look.
And yeah. Just, I'm here. This is who I am. Have at it. And then she belts out one of the most incredible live performances that I've ever seen. And that is for Mandinka.
Well, let's take a listen. Sound on that for me is the one that got me.
I think it's Marco Peroni from Adam and the Ants.
Okay.
I think it is.
It's just really good.
And I love as well, it's such a Sinead answer, but someone asked her what Mandinka was and she said, Mandinkas are an African tribe. They're mentioned in a book called Roots by Alex Haley, which is what the song is about. If you want to know, read the book.
Well, that's a very Sinead.
Isn't it?
You'd miss her, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Andrew Scott sang Raglan Road in the film The Stag and did a brilliant job, says one listener, and literally very, I don't know, surreptitiously, a listener says Sinead O'Connor and she moves through the fair.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Great shout.
Now, my next shout is probably my earliest music memory was Live Aid in 1985. And the big attraction for us was the fact that this whippersnapper group from Dublin were plunked right in the middle of the running order. And they were supposed to do three songs. Mm. They only ended up doing two because Bono jumped off the stage to start gallivanting with the audience in the middle of Bad. But to me, this is still the best version of that song. Even though it went on for 12 and a half minutes, it is the best version of the song. It's U2 and Bad. Again, could listen to all of that. Now, John, we were just discussing that Bono went rogue and kind of jumped off the stage. Yeah. You have some detail as to how the rest of the band reacted.
Yeah, I mean, they were there in the stage and they couldn't see him because he was so low down off the stage. They couldn't see him. They didn't know where he was, and they were literally playing in circles for about 5 minutes while he tried to get down and then up again. And straight after the performance, they were absolutely furious with him. Paul McGuinness, of course, with one eye on the exposure, said, "You didn't play the single," which was Pride. They were meant to play Pride. And the band wouldn't speak to him. And Bono went off for a week and he thought
that he'd blown
completely blown U2's career. And I think he was down in a village somewhere and he got word that U2 were the talk of Live Aid. Yeah. Now, everyone knows the Queen stole Live Aid.
Yeah.
But U2 were the other band that everyone was saying, did you see what they did?
And it's not like now where you've YouTube and it'd be up in like minutes.
No,
like,
everybody was talking
about it. It was a slow burn.
All the more galling for The Edge as well, given how many jokes he's had to endure over the years about which member of U2 fell off the stage.
Yeah. Well, indeed.
Yeah.
Because he did famously fall off the stage.
But in lots of ways, it made them.
Yeah, it did. Just a few messages from our listeners. Same Old Town by The Saw Doctors lyrics are top class. Golden Horde, Friends in Time, enough said. Martin in Galway. Another listener says, I agree with everything that is just said on Sinead O'Connor. We better have a Spotify playlist of all of these tunes, but we'll see if we can manage that. John's not a Spotify fan, so.
Well, Dee's worse.
Okay. Dee, we'll kick off our next, your next choice is The Rats and I Don't Like Mondays.
Yeah, so, I mean, another band that are, or another person that's no stranger to Live Aid, which we were just talking about. This was released in 1979 as the lead single from their third album, The Fine Art of Surfacing. Interestingly enough, though, it was originally conceived as a B-side. And it was only when Geldof saw the kind of crowd reaction to it when they were touring that they said, nah, not a B-side at all. This is going to be a lead single. For me, what stands out about this song is I love a song that tells a story, for one, but I also love a song that tricks you into thinking that it's upbeat, and you're there, you're drumming your hands before you realise the actual horror or sadness of what you're singing about. It was written about a school shooting, probably one of the first publicised school shootings in the States, and the woman that had done it, I'm not going to say her name because Geldof hated that he'd made her more famous, when she was asked why she had done it, she said, I don't like Mondays. This livens it up. So, an incredible song.
It's incredible. And I always, it's around the time you might remember when we were all adopting little theme tunes for our, kind of our ringtones. I put it on. I was working in the Sunday Times and I put it on and I got a phone call and like it stopped the office. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was just the instant. John, your next song is a U2, which we were just talking about Live Aid. Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out of.
Yeah. Before I go into that though, I should say that like the reason that we're doing all this is that we need listeners to vote for their favorite songs of all time. And how you can do that is go to todayfm.com/Irish. We have a bunch of suggestions. You don't need to take our suggestions. They're just basically ones to jog your memory. You can put in five of your own and submit, and we'll be voting until at least the 22nd of this month. And get your vote in, because you can complain about our own choices, but they're only our choices. So get yours in, todayfm.com/Irish. Anyway, U2 Stuck in a Moment. They sort of came back after the relative failure of the Pop album.
Which is actually a very good album.
Yes, and they decided to be classic U2 again. And this was a song that was earmarked as the second single. Everyone goes on about Beautiful Day, but it's not a patch on this. Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out of, written by Bono for his friend Michael Hutchence, who had passed away. Mm-hmm. And Bono described it at the time, even before the album came out, he said, we've a song on there that's pure titanium soul. Now, I don't know what titanium soul is, but I know exactly what it is, you know what I mean.
It is a great song, and it stands out on that record, I think, as I think it's unparalleled on that album.
Yeah. And the message and the lyrics is great, too.
My next choice is Van Morrison, Cypress Avenue, and I think I could have nominated any track off Astral Weeks, because it's one of my favourite albums, but Cypress Avenue, I think it's the contrast between the looseness of the rhythm section, the harpsichord, and that build. It's a very, like, it's, but, and the lyrics are just superb, and it, for me, like, I could have picked, you know, The Way Young Lovers Do off that album, you know, Madame George. I mean, there's a numerous songs on that album. But again, Astro Weeks was one of those albums that just defied logic in a way, but yet was just superb in its execution. And Cypress Avenue was the one I went for. John, your next song that we're actually going to take a clip of is Phil Lynott, Old Town.
Yeah.
This is so good. Like, this is... No arguments from my side on this.
No,
I mean, none here either.
Like, do I even have to say anything about it?
We'll just listen to this song, will we?
I mean, it's a classic Dublin song, the video. Yeah.
Great, let's take a listen.
I've been spending my money in the old town. It's not the same, honey, when you're not around. I've been spending my time in the old town. I sure miss you, honey, now you're not around. Now you're not around this old town.
There are certain songs that you need to have the gravitas to sing them.
Yeah.
The Corrs, bless them, covered this. And I just didn't believe them.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, it was a cover by a bunch of Irish artists. And again, I didn't believe them. Only Philip Lynott can sing that song.
Yeah, it is.
Fast.
And as you say, the video, it's just a moment in time, really. Yeah. It's just, it's so good. Loads of suggestions coming in now. Agree with all the songs that have been suggested so far, but the one song I never hear mentioned is Heart and Soul by No Sweat.
No Sweat?
No Sweat.
1989,
yeah.
I remember the video filmed on an airport runway somewhere in Ireland.
On the back of trucks.
Yeah, and in Cork. 100% by Fatima Mansions is a great song that's also Irish. I hope Whipping Boy is in there somewhere.
We haven't made the list yet.
These are suggestions?
Yeah.
What about Bagatelle or Cry Before Dawn?
Yeah,
House Call Me Blue.
Oh, brilliant.
The Pale, Another Nature Is a Man. I mean, look, this list is filling up very quickly.
You need to vote. Todayfm.com/Irish. Get your votes in, they all count.
Right, Dee, your next clip that we're going to listen to is Them, Gloria.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the older ones that we're looking at today. It is the song written by Van Morrison, again, conceived in 1963. It was recorded with the band Them, and then another B-side. It was the B-side of Baby Please Don't Go.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Baby, please don't go.
When that happened.
Another great tune.
And it wasn't actually as popular on release, but then it was covered by The Shadows of Night in 1966, and then in 1975 by Patti Smith. She totally reimagined the song for her album Horses. And so, again, it's a song that has kind of gathered greater cultural resonance.
It feels like it's always been there. Sorry, but it feels like it's always been there, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you're a bit older than me, John, but for me, it always has been there.
It seems like it's an old ballad from the 1800s or something.
No, it does. Yeah. It absolutely does. But I mean, like, it's 1963. Yeah. Like,
well, let's take a listen.
Like, tell you about now, baby. You know, she comes around. You're not 5 feet four. I'm from my head to the ground. You know, she comes around here. I just about midnight. She make her feel so good, love. She make her feel all right. And her name is Jean.
Belfast.
There's only three chords used through the entire song, and he's pretty much growling instead of singing. It shouldn't work, but it does.
I just remember when I was playing music, and like, we did the odd kind of wedding or whatever with that, and that was like a storm.
DJ weddings, and that is always a great one.
Listen, the notes or the suggestions from our listeners are coming in, taking fast. Goosebumps on the back of my neck listening to all of this. Love your choices, but Troy from Sinead is my number one from her. Sinead Lowen, Who Do You Think I Am? The whole album is mysteriously beautiful, incredible piece of music.
And I have only ever made one album, Sinead Lowen.
Yeah. One that I actually considered is on my longer list was the Pogues' Rainy Night in Soho.
Oh,
you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
But the one that I've picked as my last audio clip is one, the reason I fell in love with this one, I was DJing in college in UCD, and I used to do the last days of term, you know, when the student bar was full of 1,000 people, and we had 3 songs left to play, and we had been playing all day, so we've played everything, and we got out the old CDs and we found this, and we said we'd throw it on, not knowing how it would land, and the place just absolutely erupted.
Brilliant.
This is Put Them Under Pressure by the 1990 Ireland football squad. Let's take a listen.
We'll be right back. Russia. The game is about being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball, getting on with the play. We'll put them under pressure.
I was at a wedding in Italy a few years ago that was Italian 90 themed.
Yeah.
So like, I was sitting at a table that was called the Walkenstein Roundabout, but they played that obviously, and the Italians could not understand what was going on. They were just
well,
like
playing Ness and Dorman. They'd be the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, back to my days when I was, there was one song that was not allowed to be played. DJs, we weren't allowed to play the Nirvana. What's the one? Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Because
the plays would always kick off too violently.
Oh, God.
But after that night, that was not also allowed to play.
Fair.
Because, two words, Whipping Boy, better than Fontaine's DC and decades ahead of their
Whipping
time.
Whipping Boy, Heartworm is one of the great, great Irish albums.
Truly.
We actually have time for one more clip. And Dee, I'm going to give you the honour. The Divine Comedy, National Express. Why have you gone for this one?
Well, for one, I do not think that Neil Hannon gets the credit that he deserves. He's an absolutely superb musician. This is one that I think we often forget about because it's a, you know, it's about the National Express, which is a UK bus. But it is by a Northern Irish band. And it's just, for me, so evocative. Like, he basically wrote the song while on a bus and watching the people out the window. He was, by the way, accused of being too big for his boots and sneering at the working class and blah, blah, blah. But it's just wry observations on life. And I think that's what Neil Hannon does so well.
And that album was superb.
Oh, Candy superb. Siak, and just the rich, especially when you think about the time that it came out, like in 1999. Like, for a band, it was much later when people started using kind of almost richly orchestrated music again. It was very much just, you know, your guitars and your bass. Yeah. So it was amazing.
Let's take a listen. Short of time, so we'll have to cut that short. And a few more are coming in. Fateful Department by Phil Chevron, or the faster version by The Radiators from Space. Please, please, please do a Spotify playlist of these songs. Please, these are the songs of my youth. Loving It and Broken Land by The Adventures.
Adventures, yes.
What a great
choice.
Superb.
Yeah.
Now, my last choice, and we literally have 30 seconds on this, Waterboys, This Is the Sea. This is controversial because are the Waterboys an Irish band?
We were discussing this in the office today. I think they have enough of a connection to Ireland to be honorary Irishmen.
Yeah. But This Is the Sea, and I don't know if you've seen a more recent, he's reworked it, or they've reworked it for the live. I saw them in Cork playing, they supported Crowded House last year, and I saw them in the Three Arena this year. It's a 12-minute long, it is
fantastic,
stunning. Yeah. It is really, really, really good. But we are out of time, unfortunately. To John Cadell and Dee Reddy, thank you so much.
And
for
vote.
Coming. And vote, make sure you vote.
That was fun.
Details on todayfm.com/Irish.
Yeah.
The Last Word on Today FM.